Welcome to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We are Flipper, the Family Law Practitioners Association of Queensland. Family law is a wonderfully rewarding career, but is not without its challenges. Join us as we explore the issues that impact on the practice and well-being of family law practitioners. We hope our episodes will not only inform and inspire you, but encourage you to reach your potential. Enjoy this episode.
Welcome to Flipper Talks and another instalment of Things I Wish I Knew, a recurring series in which I bring together a newer member of our profession with a more senior colleague and see experience lined up against the relative enthusiasm of youth. I'm Matt Taylor, and this episode it's my very great pleasure to welcome barrister, former judge's associate and proud First Nations man, Joshua Creamer. Joshua is joined by Alicia George, newly admitted legal practitioner and current associate to the Chief Justice of the Supreme Court of Queensland. Joshua, Alicia, welcome.
Great to be here, Matt, and with one of my good friends, Alicia. We've developed a strong relationship over the last 3 years. A little bit about myself. So I'm Kalkadoon Wanyi. I grew up in Mount Isa, northwest Queensland. Went to high school in central Queensland, and I've been down here now for over 20 years in Brisbane. I did actually practice some family law during the early middle stages of my practice, and I guess there's two features of that. I'm married to the really lovely Cara Cook, and Cara and her friends briefed me, and so I spent a bit of my time practicing family law. But these days, I mainly specialise in class actions and native titles. So almost 15 years in practice now.
And yeah, I'm Alicia, and a bit about me, I'm a Bardu Island woman, but I grew up in Rockhampton and then moved to Brisbane to study a Bachelor of Laws and a Bachelor of Government and International Relations, and have just recently graduated last year and got admitted in March this year, and I'm currently working for the Chief Justice.
And Alicia and I met about 3 or 4 years ago now. Yeah. Alicia's a student at Griffith University, and my wife, Cara, and I were really keen to support Indigenous female law students. And through that, we've spent a lot of time over the last 3 years meeting Alicia and her husband. And it's funny, everywhere Alicia is, I try and sort of photobomb or pop in. I was there at her graduation. Yeah. I moved her admission. So all those important milestones in life, Alicia, I want to be around for. But no, it's been a really, I think, really special relationship getting to know each other the last 3 years.
I guess kind of going off of that, I wanted to ask you, Josh, was there any big mentors in your life when you kind of started out in your legal career?
Yeah, well, I think there's a number of things that are important in having a successful legal career. And as I say, not growing up in Brisbane and going to school here and not coming from a family who'd practiced in law, I think the really key things for me have been having a strong network of people around me and including that strong mentors. And I was actually really fortunate just last week to publicly acknowledge a few of those mentors and friends. And look, it's people like Dan O'Gorman, SC. Dan and I knew Dan since actually I was a university student, and he offered great advice and helped me get the role as an associate when I was 16, 17 years ago. John Fraser, he's a criminal barrister. He's been a long-time mentor, and I think Judge Jarrah and I have had a really good relationship for a long time since, again, before I started. And it's funny, those relationships that I sort of built up in my time as a law student, actually, have endured, through completing law in those early stages of my career, and are really, really important relationships even at this stage of my career.
Mm-hmm. And obviously we all know how, what areas of law that you practice in now, but when you first started out, did you know that's kind of the cases that you wanted to be working on, or how did you kind of navigate choosing what it is you wanted to practice in?
Well, it's really funny. I was so focused on going to the bar. I was really fortunate. I think for a lot of students or early students, I say, look, spend those first couple of years studying and getting that routine right and learning how to study and all those things at university. But you do get to a point then where you want to have that practical experience. And I was a law clerk at Legal Aid for a number of years in different offices around Queensland, mainly focused in Brisbane. But through that, I got a lot of time in court to see what the solicitors did and see what the barristers did. And I knew very early on, I wanted to go to the bar, and I had it in my mind that I'd finish uni on Friday and start at the bar on Monday. That was the level of motivation or drive to get to the bar. And Dan O'Gorman in particular was like, you know, cool your jets, Josh. You do have to take a few steps. And as I say, really encouraged and supported me getting the role as an associate. And then the judge and Dan were, you know, you should spend a year at least in a firm. And I did that. I was a law clerk at Nice Lawyers in the coast for a year. And then I got to achieve that goal and got to the bar. So I knew, as I say, I think that practical experience really helped me in understanding where I thought I fitted in legal practice.
Mm-hmm. And what, I guess, would you say initially drew you to law generally, and what has made you stay here for as long as you have?
Yeah, look, I think a really good question, and there's a few parts to that. I was always interested in sort of social issues. I even remember as a kid, I loved reading the paper on weekends and, you know, politics and all, and just what was happening in the world, social issues. And it's funny, I went to a all-boys school up in central Queensland, and all the guys just cared about was footy and stuff like that. So, and look, there's still a lot of good friends, but I was in, on my own, I think, in a lot of the issues I liked. And so law, politics, social issues, Indigenous issues, you know, really all came to drew me into studying law. And and look, in terms of now, I think, you know, given the sacrifices you make having a legal career, it's to be successful in anything, and particularly law, it takes a lot of time, investment, and, you know, a lot of the fun things you don't get to enjoy, and, you know, important family milestones and that, you're generally working. But, you know, I've enjoyed being able to, particularly the work I've done, you know, the last almost 10 years, you know, the work in Indigenous communities, travelling across the country, learning about, you know, historical treatment of Aboriginal people, and working in cases that, you know, trying to recognise or have their rights and interests protected. It's been a really, really valuable career.
Something I really have valued about our relationship is watching kind of you and Cara navigate the high-pressure environment that law is, and obviously her career and your career taking different paths. But at the start and now, how do you kind of manage that pressure and that workload without, burning out or prioritising your mental health and those things?
It was funny. I said to Cara on the weekend, I said, look, there's probably only two or three things I can do okay at one time. Like, I can't be busy at work and go to the gym and spend time with family and, you know, do all the other things. So it's like, at the moment, it's basically just, do the work that needs to be done in chambers and on those matters, and then spend time with the family. So I feel like you can't do it all, I guess, is the answer. You do need to have a good partner if you're going to be successful. I think, you know, success compounds, and having a good partner standing behind you is really important. But also, realizing that you can't do everything, and focusing on your career. And I think for Cara and I in particular, there was things that we didn't do. We didn't do a lot of travel. You know, people traveled and spent time overseas in the early part of their careers, and we didn't have the opportunity to do that. We really focused on building our work here and our relationships. And, you know, Cara went on and she private practice. She was then in community legal centres and started the first DV law firm, specialist DV law firm. So we were just focused on doing those things in the early stages of our career. And now with three kids, it's a balance. Cara was recently elected in federal parliament, but I think the thing is, you just have to support each other, be flexible in our line of work. Just, you know, if you need that extra help at home, you get that organised. And so, you know, over the last 3 years, I think our relationship's evolved. I feel like you've become a bit of a stepdaughter in a way, you and Liam, your husband. But, I think, and we've talked more recently about where to next for you and some of the motivations and some of the challenges. But as a young person starting out your career, what's the things you're thinking about? What are you concerned about?
I think there's a lot of pressure when you're kind of young in the profession, and you have all these big dreams and big things you want to achieve, and there's a part of you that really wants to be able to do it. But there's also that part of you that wonders, oh, I don't know if I can make it the long distance. And I think in this day and age where their mental health is a really big priority, and for a lot of young people, I feel that putting that at the forefront can sometimes be a challenge, and I'm wanting to kind of be really mindful of that going into the profession, but also there's a lot of pressure, I feel, to make the right decision of what to do in the next step in your career, where I feel you have been very helpful for me in kind of getting some of that head noise out and just having a bit of a chat about some practical steps, I think, to really help you make those what they seem as hard decisions right at the start of your career.
And I guess the good thing sort of where you're at now is that people like myself, but also Evelina Tarago, Malia Benn, two Indigenous female barristers, Judge Jarrow, Justice Lincoln Crowley, that, you know, as a young Indigenous lawyer coming through, there's a lot of examples that are really close to you and support you that you can do it too.
Yeah, for sure. I think where I am now is probably different from when you started and you were my age. I actually have those or more examples and more representation in the profession of First Nations lawyers, barristers, judges, and it's really helpful and something to aspire to and admire that you can one day probably have the ability to do that as well.
And I guess whilst there's challenges, do you think there's anything, you know, in terms of really exciting about this next stage of your career? As we all do, we've spent a long time at uni and being not much. You're a law student and, you know, that's cool for a few years, but then you want to go to the next stage. You're now admitted, you're about to really go into practice. Mm. And what are some of the things that are really exciting about this next stage of your career?
Yeah, I think it is a really exciting stage because there's so much possibility just at your fingertips. And having studied for about 6 years and then doing the practical legal training, I'm at the point now where I just want to get in and do the thing. So it's very exciting to just start doing it, I guess, and looking at all the possible career paths and things that I can do. It's very fortunate spot to be in, and I'm really excited to just start doing it.
And you talk about, you know, the next stages, and are you going to make the right decisions? What are the things that are really attractive to you about this next stage, or, you know, opportunities?
Yeah, so I'm going to a big commercial firm next year, and I'm really excited for the areas of law there that I'm going to be practicing in, but also I have aspirations of going to the bar. And having worked at the courts this year, it's just been really exciting to see that could be my career and that's what I want to do. And it's just very inspiring to be able to have those examples and just to do it.
What I remember about the associate year, what I took away, I took a lot of things away. It's a brilliant start to a career, and I encourage anyone who gets, you know, who wants the opportunity to put their hand up for it. But I felt being in court all day, watching people who were great on their feet, but also watching people who weren't great on their feet. And I took away from it the fact that I watched a lot of people and thought, you know what, I could do that job.
Yeah.
It's not as scary as it might be. I can even, and you know, I think that's the sort of cockiness you have and, you know, all those things, the overconfidence and, but it's very much like, okay, you know, this is achievable. I can see what the role is here at the bar. And again, that was another motivation. And what have you taken away? I mean, I know you're halfway through your year as associate, but are there any lessons you picked up along the way?
Yeah, I think it's just been a really interesting year to be on this side, kind of of the bar table, just watching it all happen. And I agree with what you said, that seeing all these different examples of different barristers appearing in court and thinking, I could do that too. That's been a really big takeaway for me, but it's also made me love the law more almost. I really enjoy listening to both sides, reading the arguments and having a discussion with Judge about just certain things. And it's really made me love the law more in a way and get really excited about, oh, I want to put forward some arguments. This is what I think about it. And it's just been a very interesting year, and it's helped really reaffirmed my decision in my career.
Yeah, I think the other thing I took away from is that just meeting all the judges and realizing that they are people. And, and not to be, you know, as scared. I think even now, some of those judges I met when I was an associate, I still have great relationships with people like Margaret McMurdo, for example. We went on, sat on boards together, and So breaking down some of those barriers
for
and
sure.
scariness as well,
yeah.
important part.
Josh, you mentioned at the start that Alicia was the first winner of your scholarship. Do you want to talk a little bit about that?
Yeah, sure, Matt. Well, look, I mean, I've worked on some really big cases involving Indigenous parties. I did a lot of work, obviously the Palm Island case, class action, but then we worked on the stolen wages cases, and in particular, and I realised working on those cases that I was interviewing a lot of Indigenous women, and often about their, and these are older women, about their time in under what we call the Act here in Queensland. So they were under the control of the state, generally lived on different missions, were separated from their families, became part of the stolen generation with our children. And I was talking to them about really traumatic, really, really difficult events, really difficult evidence. And I always thought, geez, I need an Indigenous woman who's at the bar, who can work with me on these types of cases. And I was talking to Abilene and Malia, and they weren't there yet, but ultimately, you know, in Malia in particular, I really pushed her over the line. But it also was also motivated to see not just women come to the bar, but go to, you know, go on to the bench and be successful. And I realised from practicing for a while, and you know, being in Brisbane for a while, Cara and I, and just these great relationships we have, and you know, these great people around us who have, you know, similar values and are interested in similar issues as us. And I thought, wouldn't it be great to try and bring all that together to create, to support this next generation of Indigenous lawyers? And coincidentally, I was turning 40, so it's a couple of years ago now. And I said, I don't want a birthday and just people give me stuff that I don't want. You know, I don't need anything. But I thought, how about we talk to Griffith and put a scholarship program together? And we went to Griffith and... because Cara and I were both students there, and I've continued to have a relationship with them, and we sort of pitched this idea of a scholarship, and Griffith came back and said, "Yeah, that's great, but why don't we also do some mentoring and career support?" And as I say now, as you say, Alicia's the first recipient, and we've just had the fourth recipient announced. So that's over the last 4 years, we've been able to raise about $200,000, and that'll go on to support a whole range of students, but. I think the biggest thing certainly for me, and you know, I hope for Alicia, is actually just being that mentoring and the career support, and I try and catch up at least once a quarter with each of the students, and sometimes more. I've tried to bring them into our network of people and introduce them to a lot of people, and fortunately for Alicia, Justice Crowley was getting appointed. It was when his appointment in the Supreme Court, and I said, "Look, come up." I think it was just when you only knew in
yes,
terms of scholarship,
yeah,
wasn't it? And I was like, "Oh, look, come up. This will be great. Everyone's going to turn out for it." And it was just one of those things. It was excellent. So many people in the profession were there, and we introduced around to a lot of people, and that's where we initially bumped into the Chief Justice. And you know, fortunately, it sort of led to. A whole range of opportunities since then. But I realised that you know when at a certain point in your career, if you want to make a difference, you actually have to do, you know, you have to pick up the phone, you have to actually do things. You can't. It's not really just. I don't think it's enough to sit back and say, oh, you know, this is a great initiative, or you know, that's great, and I'll go to a morning tea, or I'll go to a lunch, or I'll go to a CBD afterwards. If you really want to make a difference, you've got to call in the favours, you've got to ask people for money, you've got to, you know, push, knock down doors, you know, knocking on doors, all that sort of stuff to actually make a difference. And that's one of the things we've been able to achieve for the scholarship.
Yeah, and just from my perspective, I can say that Josh really does do that. I feel like him and Cara are those people that they've climbed the ladder, and they're not just pulling me up with them, but they're actually empowering me to go and do things. And it's been really invaluable, their support and their mentorship. And even now I feel like I'm in a stage in my career where I'll text Josh, I'm like, this is what I'm thinking, and he's always quick to answer. And it's just, I don't take for granted how much of a support that is, especially not having any family in law, or not being from Brisbane, that kind of thing. So yeah.
And you know, we've tried to, I mean, like I say, Alicia's become part of the family. We've been around home for different events and things, her and her husband Liam. So Yeah, it's been a great relationship, and we've got Keely Hughes. She's a second recipient. She's so focused on going to the criminal bar. It's just she's got the blinkers on, so I'm just trying to support her in that. And Madeline Wade was the third recipient. Mm-hmm. She's very much focused on going and working internationally, and her and I just caught up again recently. And Alicia Perez has just been announced as a fourth recipient mm-hmm. this year, so we haven't yet met with her, but you know, we're getting a little stable there of all these successful Indigenous women. So
yeah, some names to keep an eye on.
Yeah, well, yeah, I can't wait, because I can't wait to hand the baton over to Alicia. Because I'm like, okay, Alicia, you can take on all this mentoring support. I'll just come in and I'll be the consultant to all of those things.
Fantastic. Thank you. There you have it, guys. The value of mentors, the value of networks, the value of representation, and ultimately the value of a partner who can support you in the journey along and into the law. Thank you, Joshua. Thank you, Alicia. Thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Matt. You. Great to be here.
Thank you for listening to Flipper Talks, a family law podcast. We hope you enjoyed the podcast today. We confirm that the information we discussed today was just that, information for educational and entertainment purposes only. It is not specific advice. If something discussed has you considering whether you should take steps, it is important to make sure you get professional advice about your unique situation before you proceed, whether that be legal, financial, accounting, medical, or other advice. Please reach out to Flipper if there's another topic you'd like explored, and if you know someone who might benefit from the show, remember to tell them about it. Thank you for listening.